Hey everybody, welcome to Wood with Handles, a baseball podcast for fans by fans. This is episode 21 for the week of September 2nd. I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh. I just want to say before we get started, obviously I haven't been here for a few weeks. Thanks to Brad, Ryan's brother, for coming on and covering for me while I was gone. Obviously I was out having a child with my wife and it's been good, and I have missed talking baseball. Obviously I still text Ryan and we still talk about it, but we haven't been able to sit down and record it, and I'm excited to get going today.
Yeah, so how's everything been going with you? Everything good?
Yeah, everything's good. I'm just starting to get life normal, hectic. We've had a lot of family in town, and tomorrow evening will be the first time that it'll just be us alone, which is, having family here has been great and super helpful, but it'll be nice to have our house to ourselves and have a little space, and it'll be good.
Yeah, good.
How was your weekend?
It's been really good. I mean, a lot of good food, hanging out with family, seeing friends. Got to play some golf for actually the first time this summer here. So it was a good day. Had a good time. So everything's good.
That's good. Something I wanted to talk about before we get started. We don't have it scheduled to talk about today, but it's something I want to bring up from listening to the podcast the past couple weeks here. 2 weeks ago, you and your brother were talking about A-Rod, and everyone listening is already mad that we're talking about A-Rod. I want to say that both of you agreed that this is bad for the sport or the game of baseball for people hitting A-Rod. I don't think it's bad for the game of baseball because he is bad for the game of baseball. I wish every single time he went up to bat, even if it walked in a run, hit him every single time. And I'm glad that Ryan Dempster hit him. I don't think that it was a bad thing at all. I'm totally glad that it happened, but we can start today's show now because that's been on my mind for two weeks now.
You've been dying to say that. I know after that we recorded that episode that week, I talked to you a few days after, and you said you were just dying because you felt like we were too nice about it.
Way too nice about it. If anybody's ruining the sport or tarnishing the name of baseball, it's A-Rod. It's not people hitting him because no one's ever going to remember that Ryan Dempster or Chris Sale hit him. Everyone's going to remember that A-Rod's a cheater, and that's it. And it shouldn't be, we shouldn't ever defend A-Rod in this case until he is proven innocent. And because in my mind at this point, he's guilty until proven innocent.
Yeah, my whole thing, I don't want to keep spending an hour on this, but my whole thing with the issue was not so much A-Rod getting hit, because I don't mind him getting hit, actually. I mean, there's got to be limits, but.
Well, yeah, I don't want him to get hit in the head. I would never wish, because I mean, that could be brain damage and all that. Hit him in his back every time.
Yeah.
Hit him in his arm, and he wears that shoulder pad or the elbow pad. Hit him in his arm, hit him in his back, hit him in his leg, not in his knee or anything like that, in his lower leg, and hit him on his foot. I don't care. Hit him every single time. Don't give the man a chance to bat and have a successful career.
Yeah, my issue was more with Girardi and Girardi getting tossed, because I felt like he got the shit end of it. I mean, he was a sticking up for his player. He was in the right, and him getting tossed and Dempster not. But, I mean, that's 2 weeks ago, so you got it off your chest, and we're just gonna let it go.
I'm good now. Yeah.
But the Pirates had a pretty big week, didn't they?
Yeah, they made a lot of moves, a lot of big moves, which is odd because you don't really see a lot of big names or really big moves going after the trade deadline here. And they picked up two players from the Mets, Marlon Burden. I'm not sure who the other guy was, but they got Justin Morneau from the Twins, which to me was the big deal. Justin Morneau is very talented. You and I are both fans of American League Central teams, and obviously he is a rival of both of us. I mean, for a long time when the Sox were going to the World Series and stuff, I mean, that was the team that was kind of giving a run for their money and almost didn't allow them, especially the year of the World Series, that let the Sox go. And even when they've been shitty lately, they've given the Tigers and the Sox a hard time. And Justin Morneau is one of the key pieces of that team, and I think this is going to be huge for the Pirates. This is not necessarily what they needed to get over, because I think they're going to the playoffs with or without Justin Morneau, but this makes them exponentially better.
Yeah, when Marlon Byrd came in the very first game in an impact, he hit a home run, I believe, and ultimately won that game for him with that home run. But when I found out Morneau got picked up by the Pirates the other day, my jaw just about dropped. Justin Morneau has been one of those fan favorites in Minnesota for a long, long time. And I couldn't believe that they'd release him, or not really release him, but trade him, which kind of signals that the Twins are in a complete rebuilding stage. But I love it. I mean, I professed my love for the Pirates long, long time ago. I'm happy to see that they're going all in for this. And I think the people in Pittsburgh right now deserve that.
Yeah.
And it was
it's great. It's great. I mean, this is what that team needed. I mean, like I said, I'm a firm believer that Pittsburgh would have made playoffs with or without Justin Morneau, but like I just said, I mean, this is just icing on the cake. This makes them even better.
Yeah, and it really has. And this was a huge weekend for them. They took 2 out of 3 from St. Louis. They're game up right now. And I think they're 10-5 versus St. Louis this year. So
St. Louis has really struggled with the Pirates this year. It just hasn't been good for them. I mean, I don't know what it is. I mean, sure, if they are 10-5, neither of us know the record off the top of our head, but if they're 10-5,
they're 10-5. I looked it up this morning.
Okay, yeah. So, I mean, five wins, I mean, that's nothing against a division rival, not even division rival, a team that is really a deciding factor in where this division goes, because the Reds are still in it. I mean, the Reds aren't going to take the division, but the Reds could take a wild card spot out of this division. And, I mean, it's going to get real intense between these three teams.
Well, see, the reason I brought up the record with St. Louis is because these two could ultimately meet in the playoffs.
Yeah.
And very soon, because if Pittsburgh wins, depending on who wins that division, whether it's Pittsburgh or it's St. Louis, those two are ultimately bound to meet up at some point if they play well in the playoffs. So St. Louis coming in with a bit of a chip on their shoulder, and then Pittsburgh coming in feeling confident, knowing that they can take series from these guys, is a huge huge thing for Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I mean, how do you feel about it, though? I mean, more than likely, odds are, the two wild cards in the National League are coming out of this division.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's just assume St. Louis is going to win this division, because they're a good team. They really only struggle against the Pirates.
And there's something in the last couple of weeks of the season that always seems to turn around with them.
So let's assume St. Louis is going to win this division. So you got Cincinnati and the Pirates coming in. Cincinnati, while they're still the third place team, they're not a joke. And usually Cincinnati is a team that starts out hot. Cincinnati is the Royals of the National League. They start out hot and they can't ever finish it. And, I mean, this year that doesn't seem to be the case. They're still a really good team. It's just that these other two teams are even better. How do you see that wild card playoff game going between, hypothetically, the Pirates and the Reds?
I don't even know if I agree with you on that line. I think Pittsburgh's going to win. I think Pittsburgh will ultimately win the division, but just for the sake of the conversation, I think if Pittsburgh comes in and, it's St. Louis, if St. Louis wins the division and Pittsburgh and Cincinnati end up playing in that playoff game or that one game playoff game, I think that doesn't, you know, such a toss up that one game playoff. I mean, it could really go either way. But I think it's going to be Pittsburgh. Their pitching's just too good. With the pickup from Morneau, and for as much as Marlon Byrd is, I just think that Pittsburgh's going to be too much for him. Cincinnati, I mean, they were there. They've always been on the cusp every year, and they just can't seem to get over that hill. But it's going to be an interesting matchup, regardless of if it's St. Louis and Cincinnati. I think the St. Louis and Cincinnati matchup's a little bit more. I think there's a little bit more to St. Louis versus Cincinnati than there would be to Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. But
so who would you have for that then?
St. Louis.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like Cincinnati.
But given the way that St. Louis is playing right now, I mean, Cincinnati could come up there and just – Cincinnati's that team you just don't want to play because they're just so – you just don't know what you're going to get out of them from day to day.
They're a deep team. They have a good bench. I really like Cincinnati. I don't think Cincinnati has enough to go far in the playoffs, but I think they could – give the Pirates or the Cardinals a run for their money, especially going into that one game playoff. I mean, like you said, it's such a toss up. It could get wild there.
Yeah. And I mean, Dusty Baker's been always one of those managers that he's always unpredictable. And then St. Louis, when they always seem to find some magic in the playoffs.
Yep.
It's funny to say it like that, but they really do. I mean,
well, they're a good playoff team is what it is. Thinking to basketball, for example, the Miami Heat are a good playoff team. They're not the best. They never have the best record during the regular season. The Bulls usually do. Even this past year with Derrick Rose, the Bulls were one of the best teams in basketball. But it's because they play so hard during the regular season, they don't have it in the playoffs. Well, I would compare the Cardinals a lot to the Miami Heat, where they do enough to get to the playoffs, and then they kick it into overdrive in the playoffs, and it works for them every year. But I think Cincinnati could really give them a run for their money. If Cincinnati doesn't make it, though, if we don't have a double, if we don't have two teams coming out of the Central, the other team that, I mean, I don't think anybody's coming out of the National League West other than the Dodgers at this point. Everyone's way too far behind. So the only other team that's going to be is going to be the Nationals coming out of the National League East behind the Braves. How would you see either Because assuming if we're only getting one wild card out of the Central, it's going to be Cardinals and Pirates. So how would you see the Nationals in that one game playoff against either the Cardinals or the Pirates?
If it's the Nationals that happen to make that, and it's a really wild far shot for them right now because they're 7 games back and only a few weeks left in the season. But if for some reason they were to sneak up there and get into that last wild card position, I think that all bets are off for anybody. And Washington's got such a good, talented lineup, and they've got such good pitching that I think if they get into that one game wild card, ultimately they could win that game. And I would pick them against whoever it is, whether it's St. Louis, Cincinnati, or Pittsburgh. I would go with Washington just because I think Washington's pitching is so excellent, and they've been on such a roll lately that hopefully that could carry them over. And I mean, they've been really, really hot. They've to the point where they've really played themselves back into any contention that they played themselves out of.
Yeah, they're 16-1 in August, which is the only winning month they've had this year. 16-11. Yeah, 16-11. Sorry, I didn't put the extra one in there. And it's the only winning season they've had all year.
Yeah, it's an odd winning stat, month. Isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, this was a team, again, we talk about it all the time when we're talking playoffs and National League. This was a team that you, me, Carl, Johnny, anybody who's ever really been on the show, any ESPN analyst, Bleacher Report, basically anywhere you go, a lot of the guests we've had on and we've asked what their playoff predictions were, everyone has almost said from the get-go that it was going to be the Nationals out of the National League for the World Series. And, I mean, they've just been probably the biggest disappointment in baseball this year.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I said it. I thought Washington would win the World Series. I didn't think they'd fall as far as they've fallen this year, and there's been a lot of injuries. Bryce Harper got injured. Strasburg hasn't been the Steven Strasburg of old, but I mean,
of old, he only had one season.
Yeah, I know, right?
One season, which he got pulled early in.
Yeah, but he was really good that year, last year.
Yeah, I mean,
I think that has a lot to do with him struggling this year, to be honest with you, because it sat him down fairly early, and I feel like there was a good amount of rust when he came back. I mean, granted, it was only a couple weeks left in the season, but then the playoffs, and I just feel like there was something there that factored into the way he played this year. But I mean, Washington's one of those teams that you really just don't want to see, because at any given time they could just jump up and bite you in the ass. They've been so unpredictable this year, but I mean, we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, I really like them. I'm more shocked than anything about the Nationals. I was horribly wrong. My World Series predictions were the Angels and the Nationals, and I'm confident in saying there's no way in hell either of those teams will be in the World Series, which I know you and Carl both had the Tigers going from the American League, so you guys probably be 50-50 on those predictions, but it's just been a shocker. Continuing in the National League, Matt Harvey injured the other day. Not sure if this was last week and if you guys had a chance to talk about it, but for me, this was huge, huge news in baseball. And obviously, I haven't been here and I haven't really had a chance to talk to many people about baseball. And how do you feel about this?
We did discuss a little bit last week, but for the sake of getting back into it, it's a huge blow for New York. Matt Harvey has said on Twitter, and he said in interviews, that he swears he's going to be back by April 1st. Whether that's realistic or not, I don't know, because this kind of thing usually takes a year, maybe a little bit more than a year for Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, looking at Brian Wilson, he was out for more than a year.
Yeah.
He's just a reliever. He's not even a starting pitcher.
Yeah, and there's guys who have been out for multiple years, too, that just can't make it back. But I think maybe April 1st for him is a little overzealous right now. But it's a huge blow to the organization, because he was their ace. He was the guy. He was their franchise. He was the guy that everybody identifies with the New York Mets. I mean, he started the game, and he was the starter for the All-Star game. He had a really great All-Star game. And the reason this messes up the Mets so much is now they have to struggle to find a new number one. Well, at least for this year, but probably part of next year and maybe all of next year. And it messes up with rotation. And now I think feel like they're going to have to go get somebody or do something, because this is a really bad thing for him. And it's a really bad thing for Matt Harvey personally, because he was just starting to hit a stride. He comes out of nowhere. He has this phenomenal year, and then now he has this setback, which it couldn't happen to a better person. Yeah. I mean, he's such a good guy from everything I know, such a humble guy, and it's terrible that it happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't have much to say about it. I know you guys talked about it a little bit last week. It was something to me that while I was gone, I'm sorry to be kind of...
get it off your chest, man.
Yeah, keep going over. I mean, to me, I was like, that's a huge blow.
You're a huge Matt Harvey fan. I know that.
Yeah, I mean, the Mets are obviously not a contending team and are not going to be for the near future. But, I mean, he's easily, in my opinion, this year, he was the best pitcher in baseball. I mean, Greinke's probably there right now. But, I mean, he was yeah, Kershaw, I mean, whoop, messed that one up. Yeah. Kershaw is obviously probably a little bit better than Matt Harvey, but Matt Harvey, he's a beast, and it's just a bummer to see. Did you hear about Puig today? He slid into third awkward, strained his knee, and he's day-to-day now, which is a huge blow for the Dodgers.
Yeah, yeah, it's a huge blow for them because he's been the heart and soul of their lineup. But earlier this week, he was benched in – it was on Wednesday against the Chicago for apparently – I forget what it was. He got benched for something.
He threw a temper tantrum.
Oh, did he? Is that what it was?
I
thought it was for something where he didn't leg out a ground ball or something like that. I don't know. Anyways, Mattingly didn't take too kindly to it. Benched him in the fifth inning in which they ultimately won that game. But – we brought it up last week, and we'll circle back to it again this week. It's an attitude issue for Puig. And both you and I, Johnny, I know Brad's not a big, huge Puig fan, and neither is Carl. But at the same time, as the three of us, you, myself, and Johnny, have all agreed that we really like him. But at the
Puig. I love what he brings to baseball. I mean, he brings the attitude, man, and I really enjoy it.
But do you have a problem with him kind of breaking team rules and kind of having this attitude to where he thinks he's better than the rest of the team and he can get away with whatever he wants?
No, because he is better than the rest of the team. I mean, just being completely honest. He is the best position player far and away on that team. Even though he's quote-unquote even though he's quote-unquote not as good as he was, you got to understand, Puig at slumping is Puig coming down from batting, what was it, 460 or something like that?
Yeah.
I mean, he's far and away the best player on this team. He plays with more passion and more energy than anybody on this team, other than Kershaw and Greinke. Position-wise, he is the heart and soul of this team, and I love it. I love the attitude. I do have a problem with breaking team rules, not baseball rules. Yep. Fuck baseball rules.
That's what I was talking about, team rules.
But I do have a problem with the breaking team rules. Like, he got fined for showing up late to the stadium in Miami, which... I mean, you can't do that. It's work, plain and simple.
Yeah.
If I'm late to my job, I get in trouble. You're late to your job, you get in trouble.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, but he did his time, and the next day the Dodgers posted a picture on Instagram of Puig standing underneath the time clock 1 minute before he was supposed to be there, pointing at it, smiling. He's hilarious. It's great. This is everything that baseball needs. There is no reason on the planet to hate Yasiel Puig, except for the fact that you're jealous of how good he is.
Yeah.
Plain and simple. He's phenomenal. He makes baseball more than fun to watch, because I would watch a fucking T-ball game and have the time of my life because I just love watching baseball. The sport of baseball is amazing to me. But he makes this game exhilarating. He takes this game to the next level. Yasiel Puig is everything that baseball needed. He's Mike Trout talented, but with a Brian Wilson kind of character underneath him, where, I mean, he makes it fun. He's kind of like, and I mean, Prince Fielder's not this way, but Prince Fielder's really goofy. He's fun to watch. That's what makes Prince Fielder fun. Prince Fielder's not the best first baseman in baseball. He's really nowhere near the best first baseman in baseball, but he's awesome to watch. He's hilarious. He has a good time. I love when he tries to steal a base or he gets a double or a triple. You see that big man move around the base. It's great. If I legitimately like one Tiger on this planet, because everyone knows I'm a Tigers hater, it's Prince Fielder. Why? Because Prince Fielder makes the game fun to watch. Yasiel Puig does that times a million. I love it. Don't break the team rules, man. I get it. You're a rebel. You're a hard ass, and that comes with the territory. And I mean, it's only going to get worse over time, and I'm well aware of that. But right now, he's not doing anything, in my opinion, that's that awful. The big thing I see everyone bitch about is, oh, he doesn't use the cutoff man. Does it matter? Because he's made some phenomenal throws from the fence to throw
When you can throw somebody out flat-footed from the fence on a one-hopper, or maybe not even, there's no way in hell you need to use a cutoff man.
Yeah, the cutoff man's just going to slow him down.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's hilarious to me.
Look, it's like this. There's a broadcaster, Colin Cowherd. Everybody probably knows who he is. He's a huge idol of mine for broadcasting. But he's always said, it's better to be interesting than to be good. And in Yusiel Puig's case, he's both. He's interesting, he's good. He's probably even better than good. But in my case, and it goes for me too, I'd rather watch somebody interesting than somebody good. It's those characters like the Yusiel Puig and the Brian Anderson or
Brian Wilson.
I don't know why I said Anderson, but you know, Miguel Cabrera, Prince Fielder, those guys make watching baseball fun, and baseball can be very monotonous at times.
Yeah.
And being able to watch that stuff and have the drama and see these guys have fun doing what they're doing and have a passion and then make it exhilarating. That's what makes baseball such a great sport, because in like football, you see all these guys that have these attitudes and they're prima donnas. Same in basketball, where
speaking of that, with the exception of hockey, I mean, I don't really, Ovechkin and maybe Crosby, I mean, you don't really see it too much in hockey, but we're talking about the other two major American sports, when football and basketball, it's nothing but prima donnas and attitudes and people who break team rules, but we all love them.
Get away with it,
And I mean, but Puig comes in, he's really the only guy, with the exception of a Brian Wilson, maybe a Prince Fielder. I know there are a few other people out there who do really have fun with the game, but he's really one of the only ones who really does it, and now he's just the enemy of the state.
Yeah, and that's really odd to me. That, like, I know there's a lot of people who don't like to identify with the bad guy, and people love to hate on success, and maybe that has a little bit to do with it because he's been so successful in a short period of time. But I can't understand the hate. I mean, me, I'm kind of a new school baseball guy, whereas I don't mind if he quote unquote doesn't know the traditions and the unwritten rules of baseball. That shit doesn't mean anything to me. And I'm probably going to get killed for it, but at the same time, it's like, he's interesting, he's a lot of fun to watch, and you can't ask for any more than that.
Yeah, I mean, he's fun. I mean, it's a little weird to me. Obviously, I don't know enough about Cuba, and...
That's what I feel like the issue is he's a foreign guy, and he doesn't speak English really well.
Well, he's said that's the issue, because at least until recently, he might have one now, and if someone's listening and they know this, they can correct me, but he didn't actually have a translator here with him. He has a guy who speaks English and Spanish, and he can translate, but that's not his job here. His job is more of like an assistant.
Yeah.
And so he didn't have a translator here. So like, he wouldn't do interviews for a long time. And like, the reporters were like, oh, this guy thinks he's too good for interviews. No, he doesn't want you to fuck up his words and then make him seem up like a bad guy. Like you're already doing.
Yeah.
Like, there is a lot of breakdown, but what I was saying about like not knowing much about Cuba is the everyone got on him because I believe it was earlier this year he broke Lou Gehrig's record. I could be wrong if it's Lou Gehrig, maybe Joe DiMaggio, and he was doing a post game interview after he broke a record of theirs, and they said something about it, and his response was, I think it's Joe DiMaggio, his response was, who's Joe DiMaggio, and people lost it.
Well, it's because he's from Cuba. He probably didn't have a clue who Joe DiMaggio actually was.
No, he does. He doesn't, because in Cuba, you can't get American TV. He's never seen American baseball before. He doesn't know who these people are. He's the A-Rod minus steroids. He's the Justin Verlander. He's the Brian Wilson. He is the big deal of Cuban baseball. He was the biggest deal.
He's the Cuban LeBron James. Yeah,
he absolutely was. He's the Babe Ruth of their baseball. He's the greatest to ever play their version of baseball, and he knows nothing other than that. And you can't fault him for that.
No, absolutely not. Because a lot of these times, it's probably his first time hearing of Joe DiMaggio and hearing of Babe Ruth and him not knowing who Ken Griffey Jr. is and him not knowing who so-and-so is. And that's, like you said, it's not his fault. You cannot blame him for that. There's just a gap in traditions. There's a gap in, I mean, international. There's an international gap there where it's not his fault because he doesn't understand everything. He just never has had access to it.
Yeah. I mean, the Dodgers getting off Puig a little bit here, because we don't want to talk about him all night. I could talk about Puig forever, but the Dodgers got Michael Young from the Phillies. This kind of went under the radar because of the Justin Morneau deal. And this is a kind of a big deal. I mean, Michael Young, while not an all-star, I believe he has been on.
He's one of the more solid position players you'll find on a team.
Yeah, I mean, and why I just said not an all-star. I believe he has played on an all-star team before, but while not,
yeah, he did with Texas. Yeah,
yeah. While not like a complete game changer, like end of the world. I mean, this is like going back to the Pirates getting Morneau, and like this is just being
better.
This is same thing. The Dodgers are going to the playoffs no matter what. Dodgers are probably going to the National League Championship, if not going to the World Series, no matter what. This is just icing on the cake, quote unquote.
Yeah, Michael Young was one of those players that was rumored for the beginning traded around the trade deadline. He never got moved. He was visibly, and I guess on record as saying he was unhappy in Philly, couldn't understand why he was still there. He hadn't signed a long-term contract, so he didn't know why he was going to be there. And the Phillies have made a lot of odd moves this year, but for him to go to the Dodgers, I mean, that just solidifies anything that they have. It bolsters their lineup even that much more, because while he hasn't had a great year hitting-wise, he's always been a really great postseason player, and he's a solid defensive guy. So whatever they need him for, he's going to do it. And, I mean, he's just going to help them that much more.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Everything, we're on total same page with each other. It's so good for them. I mean, the Dodgers are such a good team right now. And we're not getting past the Puigs, getting past the Brian Wilsons, who has been really great since he's came back. They have amazing pitching. Don Mattingly's...
Kershaw's going to win the Cy Young again.
Yeah, Kershaw's... great. I love Greinke's kind of I don't give a fuck getting into fights, what, twice this year, if not three times this year. I mean, I love it. I love the attitude that they have. I love everything about Dodgers baseball right now.
The Dodgers have somebody for somebody or somebody for everything. They really do. They've got a kind of character on their team for anybody. If you can't enjoy them as a baseball team, you don't like baseball.
Yeah, and I mean, it's fine if you are a fan of a different National League West team and their arrival and you don't like them, but you gotta admit this is a fun team to watch. I mean, the Dodgers are just, they're on fire, and I really think they're gonna go to the World Series. I really think that if the Tigers or I plain and simple, obviously I'm a Tigers hater, but I will say Tigers are probably going for the American League, if not Texas.
I don't think there's anybody in the AL that's going to beat the Tigers.
Doesn't matter who out of the American League goes to the World Series. I know Tigers fans are going to disagree with me. I really think the Dodgers can beat anybody in baseball right now.
Yeah, this is kind of like a nightmare matchup for a Tigers fan, and I am a Tigers fan, so I guess I can say that openly. The Dodgers have a ton of pitching and even better hitting. And the Tigers already don't fare well against National League teams in general, and they happen to not play well against teams, especially in the World Series. I think they've gotten swept out by Cincinnati, or not Cincinnati, but St. Louis. They lost 4-1 against St. Louis, and they got swept by San Francisco last year. So they don't play well in the World Series, and the Dodgers are one of the better National League teams that you probably are going to see for a long, long time right now.
They're so good.
Yeah, and I was going to ask you, it's kind of weird to see teams like the Dodgers and the Pirates kind of getting these big name players. Well, not really big name, but like very, very talented players. And for those two, I mean, the Dodgers and the Pirates have been down and out for a long, long time now. And for these two teams to be in it is really good for baseball, I feel, because Pittsburgh is a really great sports city, and they love their, I mean, it's a football driven town. They love their hockey, but when the Pirates are good, it's really good. And that stadium is beautiful. So it's good all around. But the Dodgers, they're in LA. They're a big money team. They're a big, huge franchise. They're like they're basically the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, yeah.
Well, and they're the biggest payroll in baseball.
Yeah,
right now.
Exactly.
I believe Michael Young put them over the Yankees. Like, they're not much over the Yankees, but I mean, they're spending money, but it's working for them. It doesn't always work for everybody, but it's working for them.
Yeah, and it's exciting to watch.
Speaking of Puig, I mean, we kind of got off topic
here,
but I would say, for me, my personal opinion, he's NL Rookie of the Year. What do you got?
I would agree with you. The only thing is Jose Fernandez from the Marlins. It's been so good. I mean, he's had one of those. While his stats are 10-6, I think 2.33 ERA and then 173 strikeouts, he's been the guy for the Marlins. And I mean, the lone bright spot, I guess, for them.
Yeah.
And he's good.
What's his name?
Giancarlo Stanton. Yeah.
He's really good. I mean, the Marlins are going to be good again. It's going to be a while, but they're going to be good again. I like Jose Fernandez. He doesn't play as well on the road.
Yeah.
He does really, really good at home. And he does pretty good on the road.
Yeah.
That's the only thing that scares me. If Puig is – if this strained knee that he got tonight becomes a bigger deal, I mean, obviously he hurt his knee once running into the fence a month or so back. I mean, if this knee thing ends up being a bigger deal –
He's Superman.
I would agree, but we'll see in this coming week. Obviously, we're recording this on a Monday night. We probably won't get an official word till either tomorrow or the next week, so we'll be able to talk about it a little bit more next week. But if he's really hurt, that definitely takes him out of any running for Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in my opinion, Yasiel Puig is not only Rookie of the Year, he's MVP in my eyes. I mean,
I don't know if he won't win the MVP just because he hasn't had enough games played.
Who do you think got the MVP then?
Oh man, I don't even know. It's so hard to tell.
Only thing I can think of, Yadier Molina, but
it's really got to be Molina. Although he hasn't,
but
good majority of the season too. I'm always up there with Brandon Phillips, and then McCutcheon's always in that race.
I'd say McCutcheon maybe. Yeah, I would have said Matt. I would have said Matt Harvey, but.
Harvey's injured now, so he's out.
Yeah.
And I guess the only other guy that you could really think of would be Kershaw.
Paul Goldschmidt.
Yeah, but his team's out of it, so he's not going to win it.
You don't think? You don't think he stands a chance?
Typically, the teams that don't make the playoffs, their player won't win the MVP because that factors into it.
Paul Goldschmidt's really good.
He is really good, but Arizona, if they don't make the playoffs, I don't think he stands a chance in winning it.
They ain't fucking making the playoffs.
Yeah, no.
There's no chance in hell they're making the playoffs.
I mean, Puig could definitely – he's definitely going to be in the mention. I don't think he's going to win it just because it's him, and a lot of people just love to hate on him.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like there's a little bit of, I guess maybe not conspiracy, but backlash with the All-Star game and then not getting him voted in. I mean, maybe Freddie Freeman's in the MVP race too. I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I would even go as far as like Jason Worth. Jason Worth's been really awesome.
Yeah, he really has.
I mean, there's
Harper
a lot of good.
Have been up there had he played a whole season.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of really good guys, and especially the National League is just so good this year. I am a through and through National League hater, but I cannot hate on the National League this season.
Yeah, I was going to say it's so fun to watch. I mean, how can you not hate the National League this year? Typically, you and I are both Midwest guys.
Yeah.
We're up in Michigan. You now live in Chicago. You're going to move back here or back to the Midwest here soon or South here soon. But, I mean, it's a different kind of baseball, but yet it's a fun to watch right now. And mostly because there's so many good teams that are just so interesting.
Yeah. Something else I want to talk about, this is going to be really our only non-National League topic this week. Miguel Cabrera. I'm not sure if he played today. You can let me know about that.
I don't think he played today.
That would make three games in a row he's been sat for abdominal strain. I believe he hurt it more 3-4 days ago on a slide.
Third. What happened is he hit a ball, and it was a slide into second, actually.
Okay.
Came around first and tried to leg out a double, slid into second, and ended up hurting himself. And the bigger issue, like you just said, is – he's been really bruised and battered and dinged up the last couple months of the season here. And this is a big deal because he needs to stay healthy for the Tigers.
Well, he is, again, Tigers haters are going to get me, so I'll just declare that I'm going to hate on the Tigers for the rest of this topic. He is that team. That team is not where they are without Miguel Cabrera. In the past, I've been a Miguel Cabrera hater, but I mean, statistically looking at this team, that team is not the same team without him. They are in a lot of trouble without him. Obviously, they're going to the playoffs no matter what. There's not a team in the AL Central that's catching them. They're going to the playoffs no matter what. And probably, even if he was hurt for the rest of this season, which he's not going to be, but even if he was out for the rest of the season, they're going to go at least to the American League Championship, if not to the World Series still. But without him, they're not beating the Dodgers.
No, Miguel Cabrera changed the whole complexion of the Tigers team. He's, and you hit it dead on, right? There, nobody can hate on you for saying that. He's the heart and soul of the Tigers. He is what the Detroit will only go as far as Miguel Cabrera will take them. You can say what you want about Verlander and the pitching, but it's Miguel Cabrera and it's his team.
I will say what I want about Verlander. He's a joke.
Yeah, I know. He is this year. But yeah, you're dead on about Cabrera. If he can't stay healthy, Detroit's not going to win a World Series, especially not if they can make it to the World Series against a team like Pittsburgh or like St. Louis or the Dodgers that have a ton of pitching, because he can hit any pitcher at any time.
Yep.
And he's one of those rare hitters that no matter what you do, he's so tough to strike out. He's hard to get out, but he can take a pitch from anybody and he can just muscle it out of the yard and go the opposite way. He's that rare hitter that you never really see and that you see like literally once in a generation. And watching him is probably he'll go down as one of the better hitters in baseball, if not by the time everything's said and done.
I'd say even if he even moderately keeps up this pace, he'll be considered probably the greatest hitter to ever play the game.
I mean, if he hits a few more home runs and finishes off the second triple crown in a row thing, I don't know how you can't argue that.
How far behind Chris Davis is he?
Hang on. I don't know. I haven't looked in a few weeks. I can find it for you, though.
Yeah, he was like four behind the other day, I thought. But, yeah, I mean, he's everything to this team. And sure,
he is four behind.
It's just an abdominal strain. He's not going to be out for the rest of the season. But this has been an issue that has been there since right about, I think it was like 2-3 weeks before the All-Star break. I think he strained it out.
It was a back issue.
That was a back issue. Yeah, I mean, but he hasn't really been 100% the whole second half of the season.
No,
he's still been performing great, even hurt, but like he hasn't been 100% the rest of the season. And even I would even go as far to say is I would be more confident in the Dodgers winning the World Series over the Tigers if Miguel Cabrera, even if he was there, but if he wasn't 100% healthy.
Yeah, but you got to be honest. A 60% Miguel Cabrera is better than 100% on anybody else most of the time. But
yeah,
when you can't move, it makes it hard to swing the bat. It makes it hard to play third base. And they're definitely not going to move him from third to first to let him kind of rest his body with a fielder. And
well, yeah, I mean, they would – fielder would have to go to DH. Victor Martinez would have to go somewhere.
See, here's the thing with an abdominal injury. Yes, it's not one of those things where you're going to be out for the season, but it affects you in everything you do. It affects you in every way you move. When you swing the bat, you're going to feel it. Even when it's healed, you're still not all that – you're always going to be wary of it because you feel like you could pull it just as easily, and that's kind of the thing. It's an odd injury to get through, but in order for the Tigers to win a World Series, they can make it there without him, but for him, for them to win the World Series, he's going to have to stay healthy.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more.
Well, that's our show for the week. Just a reminder, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter by searching Wood with Handles.
Wherever you listen to the show, if it's iTunes or YouTube or Stitcher, we're working on getting everything up on SoundCloud. Wherever you listen to it, though, like it, share it, heart it, thumbs up. A lot of these things only take one click, and it really helps us a lot. If you're a fan of us on Facebook and Twitter, like Ryan just told you to be, share our page, retweet us. All those things help in so much more than you guys can understand, and it's actually just one click to do it and takes almost no time to do it. You can do it on your phone. You can do it on the computer. It's real simple to do.
I'm Ryan.
I'm Josh. Thanks for listening, everybody.